Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Lindsay W., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Houston, Texas. Today is Tuesday, June 10th, 2025, and today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the chapter Working with Others on page 102 in the third paragraph that begins, "Many of us keep liquor in our homes," through one paragraph ending, "ought to decide for themselves," and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph. Today's readers are, for the 12 steps, we have Sharla W., the 12 traditions, Anne Marie M., and then our readers of the text will be Patrick O. and Susan S.H., and Jessica C. is our backup reader. The reference numbers for yesterday, Monday, June 9th, are the following. For the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 22,506. That's 22,506. And then the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,507, 22507. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Sharla W. to please read the 12 steps.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Sharla W. in DeSoto, Texas. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to be of service. God bless you. Have a good day.
Thank you, Sharla W. And then I will now ask Anne Marie M. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Anne Marie M. in South Carolina. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Anne Marie M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So this morning, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are in the chapter Working with Others on page 102, the third paragraph. Many of us keep liquor in our homes through one paragraph ending, ought to decide for themselves. And I will now ask Patrick O. to begin reading. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning, everybody. This is Patrick, a compulsive eater in recovery from Tennessee. Many of us keep liquor in our homes. We often need it to carry green recruits through a severe hangover. Some of us still serve it to our friends, provided they are not alcoholic. But some of us think we should not serve liquor to anyone. We never argue this question. We feel that each family, in the light of their own circumstances, ought to decide for themselves. Hello, everybody. I personally haven't had this experience personally at all. And even though I am even an alcoholic who's been in recovery a long time ago, I did have an experience years ago where, when I first got sober, I felt like I was living in a fear-based sobriety where if I did the wrong thing, I was going to get drunk. And something happened about a year after I got sober where it just shifted to where I just had, even then, I guess I would call it neutrality with alcohol. I don't have craving or obsession with alcohol, and I haven't for a long time. Now come to OA where credits don't transfer. It's been a really challenging coming, you know, chronically relapsing for many years. By the grace of God, I found Vision for You, and I just went through the steps with a sponsor here. And I've gotten abstinent, and I've stayed abstinent, and I have, I feel a real neutrality with food. And I'm so grateful for that. So the only thing I can really speak of with this is that some of us still serve it to our friends, provided they are not alcoholics. So my experience just in this past year is being taking care of my mom a little bit, having to go up to New Jersey and spend time with her. And I would go grocery shopping, and I would buy things that are not part of my food plan for my mom. And even while I helped her make meals and provide those things that she would eat that I wouldn't eat. And what I noticed, there were several things through that experience. One is the majority of the time I had this real joy response, like, God, I'm so grateful I'm not in the grips of this particular food item. The other is sometimes when I would smell it, it would trigger the phenomenon of craving inside of me, but I was able just to observe that. I'd make calls if I had to about it, but it passed, and I was able to stay abstinent. And I'm so grateful for that. And so I've had that experience a couple times over this past year. And then I just want, that's pretty much what I want to say. I do want to share one thing, again, just again, about the neutrality of food. I was grocery shopping yesterday and saw something that, gum, I saw gum, and I just never thought I would not stop chewing gum. I chewed gum compulsively, and I don't even think about it. And when I see it in the store, I just saw it yesterday, this particular one with stevia sweetened, I was just like, wow, I just don't even, I'm just so grateful for the freedom from this. Now, I am single. I don't need to deal with, I know people here, you know, they have family, you have all these different foods in your house that I don't deal with at all in that way. And I'm grateful for that. But so that's really just what I wanted to share is, and I'm grateful to be here. And thank you for allowing me to serve. I hope that helps a little bit. And enjoy your meeting. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Patrick O. in Tennessee, for getting us started this morning. And although we absolutely value your experience, we do ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share this morning?
Charles H.
Katie G. from Boston.
Rick
Katie
G.
Catherine A.
Harlan G.
Nancy P.
Harlan G.
RESD in California.
All right, let me tell you who I've got so far. I've got Charles H., Rick J., Harlan G., Katie G., Nancy P., and Maria C. I know I missed people, so try one more time if I didn't get you.
Penny
C. And who else was that?
Catherine A.
Jessica C.
Catherine A. And is it Jessica C.?
Yes.
Perfect. All right. So let's go with that lineup. We're going to start with Charles H., followed by Rick J. Good morning, Charles.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for your service. And so, you know, I know in the big book, they gave alcohol to people to study, you know, it sounds contradictive, but they gave alcohol. Well, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Bill got Dr. Bob a drink to stay, and happy Founders Day, right? Got Dr. Bob a drink to steady him because he had to do surgery or something like that. So here's my analogy as far as keeping. So I don't, and I'm not endorsing, I'm just I'm not making a pitch for it. I don't put animals in my body in no form. Yet still, if my family say, hey, can you go get, you know, hamburger meat or something, I don't have a problem. And it is in my house, and I have tolerance and patience, right? Like, so, That's my analogy to it. I don't go around, you know, saying you shouldn't and all of that. I'm grateful for where I'm at. However, I don't even think in my mind like, I can't believe this person is eating that, or, you know what, I don't like you enough to hate you. Like, I respect your wishes and your boundaries, and that's just maturity. Like, it's just like, you know, listen, I work in Manhattan, and there's so many restaurants, and people are happy, and they're taking a drink, and they're eating their hamburgers, and they're really enjoying themselves. And that just put a smile on my face. Like, You know, it's just so, you know, not to let the cat out the bag, but going to 102 and 103 talks about, you know, it's foolish to have intolerance. And what does it say on page 84? Tolerance is patience. It don't say patience, but love is our code. And it talks about tolerance. And, you know, it's just a great thing to be of a, you know, fit where you at. Like even like this great meeting, right? Like serve, because you're part of the body, and the body is not, right? The body is not complete without your service. So I am so grateful to be amongst the living and be right-sized in my mind based on the program of action. And I love you all, and I wish you all a happy day. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Charles H. in New York. And then next up, we have Rick J. followed by Harlan G. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Lindsay, and thanks so much for your service. My name is Rick J. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Cary, North Carolina. You know, it's one of the promises, you know, as we go through these spiritual actions, and, you know, we clean up our past. And as we are doing that, as we're making our amends to people, as we're, you know, we're facing the things that blocked us from our higher power, which is the only thing that can save us and transform us, as we're doing that, you know, we start experiencing all these transformations, you know, that we call the promises, and, you know, and the neutrality of this, you know, is also included in the promises. You know, they start that paragraph, and we have ceased fighting. You know, it's for me, it's like these promises, these transformations that really start occurring, you know, in full effect. It's connected with all these transformations. They're together as we clean up the past, and we continue cleaning up the past, or cleaning up the present rather, you know, as we work step 10 and in 11, we strengthen that connection, you know, and it says in that paragraph on neutrality, you know, we are not fighting it. We are not fighting it. It begins that paragraph with, and we have ceased fighting anything or anyone. And at the bottom of this, of the page of 103 at the bottom, you know, the very last sentences, you know, we have stopped fighting anybody or anything. We have to, you know, and that includes this need to have something to fill that hole, that compulsion to seek something for ease and comfort. I have a connection with a higher power, and that connection with my higher power takes away that obsession over eating. It does. It really does. It's a position of neutrality. The problem has been removed. So I live in a house where everybody but me eats things that, you know, I used to binge on, and I don't have a problem with it. But there's a sort of caveat there. It's that is how we react, so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. Am I in fit spiritual condition? You know, I'm the only one that can answer that question. If I'm feeling unsure about something, or I'm in a position to where I don't feel connected the way I feel like I could be, and that happened to me when I was going through chemo. And I ended up in a situation where I got off my food plan with some things, and made a decision to reset my abstinence date. And that was back in 2023. But you know, what I do is I live in the spiritual actions that keep me in neutrality. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Rick J. in North Carolina. And the next up is Harlan G., followed by Katie G. Good morning, Harlan.
Thanks, Lindsay. I'm going to break a rule this morning, and I need a not gentle reminder if I run up against 3 minutes, because I'm not in my house. I'm out walking. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. Although we have a lot of evidence that June 17, 1935, was Dr. Bob's real first day of sobriety, June the 10th, 1935, 90 years ago today, gives me reason to bow my head in gratitude to a God who created the five Great Lakes and me. Because today is Founders Day, as Charles mentioned, and this is the day the 12-step way of life began in Akron, Ohio. Why Dr. Bob? Why Bill Wilson? We will never know that. Why Akron, Ohio? We will never know that. But God in his infinite wisdom laid before us a set of spiritual tools, a kit of spiritual tools that has restored more alcoholics, drug addicts, gamblers, compulsive overeaters, and you name it, back to useful society than all other methods combined. That today is a day of reverence for me. I hope it is for you. And I'm sorry I'm not speaking to the paragraph, but I feel the urge not to, because this is too significant a day to let it go without fanfare. This is a day when our way of life began. And as I say, even though we have overwhelming evidence that it was really June 17th, that doesn't matter because this is the recognized date. So I hope that some of you will join me later on during your day in giving thanks to God for this 12-step way of life. In 1960, Overeaters Anonymous was founded in Los Angeles, California by Roseanne S. And we are alive today. Vision for you, the Renaissance of OA. Melanie, Leah, thank you very much for your work getting us started. Katie F., Amy G., thank you for your hard work to get us going and to keep us going. Thank God for the 12-step way of life. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Lindsay, for your service. Sorry I broke the rule.
Thanks, Harlan G. in Arizona. And then next up is Katie G., followed by Nancy P. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning, Lindsay. Good morning, everyone. This is Katie G. Happy Founders Day. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Boston. Yeah, it says that we feel that each family, in the light of their own circumstances, ought to decide for themselves. And in the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous, as a mom, there are a lot of opinions, right, about do I keep food in the house? Is my kid a compulsive eater? Do I give them flour and sugar? Do I weigh and measure their food? And for me, one of the biggest lessons that I've learned in Overeaters Anonymous is that this disease is only identifiable by the person who has it. And it's not my job, it's not my business to identify anybody as a compulsive eater. And I do have tons of food that doesn't belong to me in my house. Because food isn't the problem. Food is the solution that I applied to my problem. And thanks be to God, I'm in a place of neutrality today. I'm not cocky, you know, like if I'm not feeling spiritually fit, we all know what I need to do. But I'm also not afraid. I remember being terrified of having food that's not my food in the house. And I just don't today. I also don't have opinions on what you eat. Like, you eat what you want to eat when you want to eat it. That's not my business. And I try not to get on a high horse. For many years in recovery, I was like, sugar is the demon, sugar is the problem. But again, I have a spiritual sickness. I have a hole in my soul that believes that if I shove enough flour and sugar and quantities and exercise and diet pills, if I'm thin enough, if I shove it all in, then I'm going to be okay. And the thing is, I'm okay today because of God. And I don't have to diagnose anybody in my family. I have to be really upfront and say, I have to be honest not to get some vicarious pleasure from giving my family flour and sugar. I don't know if you relate to this, but you know, I'm a pretty hardcore anorexic, and sometimes when I give my family flour and sugar, I'm like, ha ha. You know what I mean? Like somehow I have victory. And that's where my humility has to come in. Like, it's only the grace of God that I can serve my family, whatever it is that I'm serving. It's only by the grace of God that I'm abstinent, that I'm here. So it's really my job to practice tolerance, patience, kindliness, and love in all circumstances and at all times by the grace of God. And that, with that, I pass.
Thank you, Katie G. in Massachusetts. And then next up, we've got Nancy P. followed by Maria C. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning. Thank you for letting me share. Nancy P., recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. So to me, when I read this paragraph, I am so grateful that today nothing owns me. My feelings don't own me. Food doesn't own me. Nothing owns me. You know, my goal in life is to be a riverbed, and I want my life to flow over me, no matter the quality of the water. You know, I want, sometimes things are harder, sometimes things are easier, but I am grateful for all of it. And, you know, today I have freedom from everything because I don't engage with stuff that bothers me. And, you know, I do everything. I bake, I cook, I travel. I'm about to take next month. We're going, my husband's from the UK, so we're going there and Paris, and it will be fun. And I'm not worried. I'm not bringing anything with me. You know, and the message in the big book, when I first started sponsoring, all I could do was read my notes from my sponsor and that I took and wrote in my book from my sponsor. And today, I barely look at them because the message, even though it's the same message as everybody reads, has become my own. It's shaped like me, my recovery. And I went to a retreat, and I brought nothing. And I saw other people bring their food, and I saw someone there with a 30-gallon stadium-sized cooler that she brought, I assume, no dead bodies in it, with her food for the weekend. And I thought, you know, better her than me, man. All the schlepping and the toting and the lugging and the lifting and all that, I don't want to do it. But who's more free? She has excellent recovery. You know, I have excellent recovery. I mean, I'm happy, joyous, and free. I help other people. I never hurt myself with food. I comprehend the word serenity, and I know peace. So whose recovery is better? Neither. We both do what we need to do to feel great. And, you know, I don't judge anybody like that. And, you know, I live in an area where I don't know because I don't go to these meetings anymore, but they're like ranting and raving 90 day. You know, I love being absent because I'm absent, and I love absence because I'm absent, and absence is so great, and I'm absent.
Nancy, I think we lost you.
Sorry about that.
All right.
Anyways, Yeah, sorry. Anyway, so, you know, I don't go to meetings anymore that where people just rant and rave about abstinence. What I want is to not be owned by anything. I want to be able to react and act appropriately, no matter how I feel, no matter what's going on. And today I believe I can do that. You know, even when there's conflict, you know, a week or two ago, my husband and I were what I would call not in concert. And, you know, I didn't want to stab him in the eye and burn him to death in his bed. You know, I didn't want to do that. Thought to myself, yep, I got to get over this. And, you know, my relationship in my life with my life and everything in it is one of serenity now. And it came from one thing and one thing only. Say it with me. Surrender, surrender, surrender. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy P. in Massachusetts. Next up, we have Maria C., followed by Penny C. Good morning, Maria. Maria C., press *1 to unmute. We don't hear you.
There we go. And, you know, it's funny. I was saying, can I be heard? And then I thought, no, probably not, because no one's answering.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Maria C. in California on the website, but currently on vacation this week in Durham, North Carolina with my parents. Thank you to everyone doing service. This paragraph really speaks to me because of the years I've spent as a preschool teacher serving students, having them bring in their food. For 2 years, I was a teacher at a place where we cooked the food there, so I would be plating and serving and having children say a blessing over food that I couldn't eat most of what was on the plate, you know? I think some of the words that will come up on later pages that apply here, tolerance and humility. And, you know, I've heard someone else say, you know, remind us, like, the food isn't the problem. The food was my solution to my spiritual sickness. You know, my red light foods, my sugar, my flour, my other things on my list that I wrote down and abstained from, you know, they are not evil. They are not clean. It's not, I didn't eat good or bad today. I didn't eat clean or dirty today. You know, there's humility in knowing that I'm a distinct entity and not everyone else is a gutter level compulsive overeater. Certainly these 3-year-old children aren't. Guys, it's truly a miracle. I can be around it. I can serve food to people who are eating things I can't eat. And what's more, sometimes it's a great bellwether. I once was plating something and thought, this smells great. And normally when I'm at my most spiritually fit, I don't notice smells. And it was a wonderful opportunity because I paused and thought, I noticed the smell. I must be disturbed about something. I went on my own lunch break. I did not go into the teacher's lounge where all the leftovers are. I went to the library and sat and ate my food and journaled and then did a phone call and figured out, you know, what is bothering me that I'm so out of touch with my emotions. You know, having that food around bizarrely helped. And I continue to try to use it in that way. Am I noticing the food around me? And I also, for people who aren't compulsive overeaters, eating healthy, balanced things can include my red light foods. You know, I don't want them to feel like they must eat like me, because the majority of the world doesn't. They just don't, but I'm a distinct entity. I'm an addict. My body chose this food, this substance, and so I am. And I'll close with a nod to Founders Day. Never mind. I'm going to close here. Thank you guys for listening. Have a beautiful day. I pass.
Thank you, Maria C. from California. And then next up, we have Penny C., followed by Catherine A. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Lindsay, and good morning, everybody on the line. And thank you to everyone who shared so far. I've really enjoyed the shares. So AA today celebrates Dr. Bob's first day of continuous sobriety. And I'm celebrating an anniversary as well. Today marks 38 days of abstinence just by the grace of God. It's an absolute miracle. Someone who ate night and day. If I got up in the night, I'd have to visit the refrigerator without being able to go back to bed. And so I thank all the people in my life who led me here to OA, and all the people, so many people who gave me their time. Excuse me, and their experience to get me where I am today. And I say this because part of my job is to impart hope. And so if anybody is, you know, out there struggling or new, just know that with the help of God and all of the people in OA that are rooting for you, that it's possible. So to address the paragraph, many of us keep these foods in the house. I keep I keep cookies and candy and ice cream because my grandchildren come to visit, and I don't. They could be flowers, because they just aren't my food, and they don't call to me at all now. Obesity is rampant in my family. I have four daughters who qualify for that description, nieces, nephews, and I don't tell them, or I don't judge them, or look with this, you know, horrified at what they're eating. If I'm serving ice cream and my daughter is here, I don't just ignore it. I say, "Do you want some?" Most of the time, they'll say no, but it's not for me, as I already heard someone say, it's not for me to label anybody a compulsive overeater, or I don't know why they are obese. So again, I'm going to just end with saying I am so grateful to OA, to Dr. Bob and Bill W., and to all of you that I hear every day who spread the good news of 12-step life. There's nothing to compare to it. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Penny C. in Massachusetts. And then next up, excuse me, we have Catherine A., followed by Jessica C., and then we'll take another list of people to share. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning. It's Catherine A. from Ontario, Canada. I think the line that's standing out to me is, we never argue this question. We feel that each family, in light of their own circumstances, ought to decide for themselves. And I think that has really been true for me, and I think it continues to evolve for me over time. Like, just like other people have shared, I'm very confident that it needs to be the individual that makes this diagnosis for themselves on whether certain foods are a problem. And even within OA, we don't all have common foods that are problems for all of us. And so I need to just respect what other people know for themselves at that particular moment, without judging. And so, you know, I have foods in my house that my partner eats that I don't eat, and that's totally fine, because that's his life, it's not mine. I think where it becomes a little bit more interesting for me is around, you know, my daughter and trying to figure out, like, my relationship with food as a result of being a compulsive overeater compared to the values around food that I want to instill in my daughter in terms of health. And there are things there are healthy foods that I don't eat because they're red light foods for me, but they are things that I can share with her. And there are things that maybe aren't healthy foods that I still serve to her, because there's no specific reason why she needs to abstain from them just because I do. But I do feel like that's something that each family, in light of their own circumstances, ought to decide for themselves. You know, every parent is going to make their own decisions, whether they're a compulsive overeater or not, about how to teach their kids about how to eat. And ultimately, you know, I hope that if my daughter ever has this problem, that she will know that that OA exists and that it's there for her, and that I can't control whether or not she has this problem or not, just like my parents couldn't have controlled whether or not I developed this problem. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Catherine A. in Ontario, Canada. And then next up, we've got Jessica C. Good morning, Jessica.
Hi, Lindsay. Good morning. I'm Jessica C., recovered compulsive overeater, also from Ontario, Canada. Wow. The shares have been amazing. You know, this paragraph seems so straightforward when I first read it, but just like the different perspectives and interpretations of it have been so deep and meaningful. So yeah, thank you to everyone who shared. And for me, this idea of, you know, out of sight, out of mind as a solution to my compulsive eating, you know, as a real compulsive overeater, that stopped working for me like a really, really long time ago. because, you know, food is everywhere. It's so accessible. You know, I can go out and get it any time of day or night. I can have it brought to me anytime. And even as a compulsive eater, you know, even if it's not that accessible, I'll find a way to get it. And I feel like this, you know, for me, this passage goes back to what we talked about yesterday about being on the firing line of life. You know, that old way of shielding myself from food by trying to avoid it at all costs, like I said, is not a solution. For me, I could even take really powerful medication, which was meant to shut down my desire to compulsively overeat. I could even put up like an internal barrier. That didn't work either. You know, my disease actually got worse when I was doing that. And I'm, you know, I'm glad that this notion of shielding myself didn't work, because if it did, then I would just stay in my house all day where I could control my environment and keep all the food out. And then I wouldn't experience the miracle of God removing this food obsession, which I, you know, I felt so powerfully for most of my life. And I think, you know, like the purpose, again, we recover so that we can live out our purpose of being of maximum service. And I can do that by having food in my house that other people want, so I can serve it to them. Does it mean that I look for opportunities to engage with that food? You know, someone else shared that we can sometimes sort of fixate on making sure our families get the foods that are alcoholic for me. I appreciate that because I can do that. So do I, you know, if there's a charity bake sale, am I going to be the one baking the cookies? Probably not. Maybe I'll find another way to contribute. But I think the spirit of this is that, you know, that we, our lives are supposed to get bigger, more inclusive. We have more new experiences. You know, we have more people in our lives and more opportunities to be loving with others. That's my purpose today is to, you know, be more loving and helpful to others. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Jessica C. in Ontario, Canada. And then we're going to take another lineup, but I will quickly remind everyone where we are. Page 102 in the chapter, Working with Others. The third paragraph, many of us keep liquor in our homes, through one paragraph that ends, to decide for themselves. So who else would like to share this morning?
Susan A. from Delaware.
Darian K.
Margaret D. Georgia.
VK in California.
All right, so I've got Susan A., Darian K., Margaret D., and CK. I know I missed a lot of people, but let's start there. I think we have time for four more. So Susan A., please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. It's Susan A. from Delaware, recovered compulsive overeater. Such a great reminder this morning for me on Founders Day. I took part last year. I went to Akron, Ohio, and I took that big cooler with me because I was newly abstinent. And I needed to have a nutritionist. I needed to follow my food plan. I needed to pack everything and be, I didn't have the freedom. You know, today I walk a free man, a free woman. I can go anywhere. I watched a senior yesterday and I made her French toast for breakfast and she put stuff all over it and I watched her enjoy it. And I had already had my abstinent breakfast. I never, ever, ever, ever believed this anorexic, bulimic, compulsive overeater, counter, weed, that you put it in there, I do it, I did it. I'm free today. The compulsion has completely been lifted. You know, I thought this was like a triathlon. I thought we started and we finished and it was done. And my life has gotten bigger and I've just watched it. There were so many foods. I thought I couldn't eat salt in the beginning. You know, it was on my red light list. You know, things have changed for me. There's different foods that I've been able to reintroduce because my gut has healed. You know, God has just given me so many gifts. It's just, it's unbelievable. And to work with other people and sponsor and, you know, and watch their food lists, you know, and their food plans evolve. You know, there's things on their list that I can't have. You know, this changes. This is such a circular gift that we're given. I just feel so wonderfully free today, and I'm so grateful that I was reminded that it's Founders Day. You know, I've been given this gift today, and I can give it to others, and I can walk into BJ's and buy stuff for my son that I don't eat, and it's not a problem today. I don't have the desire to do all those crazy food and food behaviors that I used to, and it's just such a gift, and it's such a gift to give to others, and I'm just really grateful to be on the line and for all these wonderful shares. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan A. in Delaware. And the next up is Darian K., followed by Margaret D. Good morning, Darian.
Oh, good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, okay, good, perfect. This is Darian K. I'm in the Berkshires in Western Massachusetts, and very grateful to be on the line and hearing all of you and just remembering when. I so chuckled to myself. You know, I came in 1986, and I was much younger then, and it was before I was married, and I got married a year later, and I did not have the trust in my higher power that I have today. I was scared. I didn't know that I would be taken care of. You know what I did? I brought pineapple to Hawaii. Yeah, pineapple to Hawaii. How stupid is that? But I just felt like, oh my God, I have to have my pineapple and cottage cheese in the morning. I've got to bring my cans of pineapple. The only good thing was that everything was super expensive, so it was a little cheaper. And, you know, that's something I had to do at that particular time. I also remember another crazy, stupid thing that I look back on that didn't feel crazy at the time is I was at the movie theater and I think my husband bought popcorn and I just couldn't be next to the smell. I couldn't be there. I made him throw it away before he got into the movie theater because I didn't want to sit next to him while he ate it. And, you know, those are things that are so bizarre to me when I think about it now, but they weren't then because I didn't trust and rely on my higher power. Really, it was all about white knuckle abstinence and, oh my gosh, this is like another diet and, you know, I've got to do this and I got to do that and how am I going to do this and how am I going to go here and there? And, you know, it was so different then. But they were things I needed to do to stay abstinent. And guess what? I stayed abstinent as a result of doing these stupid things. But that's what I did in the beginning. Today, it's so different. Today, I can go anywhere. This is a program of freedom. This is a program of what can I do, not what can't I do. And, you know, and I've only learned that from, you know, from all of you and from trusting and turning things over to my higher power on a daily basis and knowing that I'll be taken care of and also looking in that rear view mirror and seeing that I got taken care of during so many difficult times of my life and joyous times. and I too, excuse me, have a daughter that I was abstinent. I had an abstinent pregnancy. Excuse me. And so I ate healthy. And, you know, my house was healthy, excuse me, and, you know, she has a food problem today, in my opinion anyway, a weight problem, let's say that. And so, you know, it doesn't, we can't
We can't shield the people that we love. Thank you. We can't shield the people we love. We can only be a power of example and a model. And she knows where to find programs. That's all she's ever known. So I'm just grateful. I have my higher power in the trust today to do and go anywhere. Thank you, and I pass.
Thanks, Darian K. in Massachusetts. And next up is Margaret D., followed by CK. Good morning, Margaret.
Hey, good morning. And also welcome to all the newcomers. And a big, big welcome to the still suffering compulsive eater, whether you've been here for what seems like a futile lifetime or, again, you're just a newcomer. I'd just like to, if I may, share an experience that I had about trying to control food or not control food or anything else. My daughter, who's 53 now, when she was about 13, I was just discovering this mental path of, you know, I need to control what I eat, or there's so many, everywhere you look, there is, you know, diet books, and you could get, in the grocery stores, you could be at the cashier's, or in the cashier's queue and see magazines that said on the front cover, you know, best fill in the blank dessert ever, and it would have a big picture of it. And then on the other side of the front cover, it would say how to lose 40 pounds in 40 days. So, you know, absolutely everybody was shooting out a mixed message, and it was just up to whoever, first of all, picked up the magazine or looked at it, or secondly, you know, bought it and brought it home, what side of the cover they wanted to look at and follow. Was it the, you know, diet mentality, or was it the food is the solution mentality? So I was trying to kind of follow the middle path, if you will. And my daughter, again, was about 13. I don't know if that math works out or not. But anyway, she was, you know, she was a teenager, a budding teenager, or maybe a mid-teenager. And I continued to buy her all the foods that she had always wanted, you know, the drinks, the caffeinated drinks or whatever, and, you know, in the different cereals that the manufacturers were putting out, the popular cereals that I wouldn't touch. I mean, it was not debatable. I just didn't want to eat them, but she wanted them, so I brought them for her. And then one day as I was unloading the groceries, she came up to me and she said, "Why do you buy me the foods that you won't eat?" And I was just struck down in amazement. And so I was like, okay, you know, you tell me what you want. And I'll kind of wrap it up with that. The power of example is it is unimaginable. And so if I just keep following what God puts in front of me, I'm sure that I'll be okay. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Margaret D. in Georgia. And then CK, we have time for a two-minute share. So please take us out this morning.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Thank you so much. This is CK in California. I'm a compulsive overeater. And today is Founders Day. It's also my birthday, my belly button birthday. And I have 240 days today, and I can't even believe it. Such a miracle. I haven't eaten a cookie in 240 days. I was thinking about that the other day, and it's like, God is good. That's a miracle. So what this paragraph signals to me right away is what it brings to mind is live and let live, you know. I
And, you know, I went about my life very concerned other people were doing, what other people were saying, you know, how it was making me feel. And, you know, this paragraph says to me, you know, I'm not the director, you know, I'm not in charge. You know, it's up to people what they choose to do, what they feel comfortable doing with their lives. I'm not in control of, you know, anything, let alone somebody else's food and what they feel they ought to be eating and eating or preparing for others to eat or serving to their children or whatever. You know, that's not my concern anymore. You know, I trust that their higher power is directing them, and, you know, and just like I'm trying to allow my higher power to direct me. And so that slogan, live and let live, has really helped me tremendously because, you know, the freedom from the bondage of self and freedom from the bondage of being overly concerned with other people and what they're doing. You know, I have to focus on me, my part, and my side of the street today. And I'm just so grateful that I have a new design for living. So thank you so much for letting me share. And thanks to everybody for your service. Happy Founders Day.
Thank you, CK in California. And thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. The share ID for today's meeting, June 10th, is 22,509. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Susan S.H. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thanks. This is Susan S.H. in Ohio. And I'm a compulsive overeater. Glad to be here. Recovered for today. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day with a man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. I pass.